awesome God you are. The words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a powerful thought there. You know, these songs are inspired. The inspiration comes from somewhere. But don't you feel that way sometimes? Lord, I just don't have the words. My words are just so weak. I'll express something to you, but it's not even coming close to what's inside here. So listen to my heart. Aren't you glad he knows your heart this morning? There was a time when I didn't want him to know my heart. Now I'm glad he knows my heart. Especially when you realize you don't know your heart yourself. But he knows. Our trust is in him this morning. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. Well, we're together again. Just praising the Lord. Amen. So Sister Baker and I and Brother Ben and Sister Allie, we had a wonderful if short trip. And I'm still on Greek time or London time or New York time. I'm not quite on Arizona time. But we trust we'll be back soon. Be adjusted. We had a wonderful time last night at the Sweetheart Banquet. And we had a couple of sweethearts join us. And, you know, the best message is the one that you live. And so when somebody lives something and then they talk about it to you, you're inclined to listen. It carries some weight. So we had Brother Daryl and Sister Cheryl with us last night and just had a wonderful time. And thank you for your attendance. I trust it was a blessing to you. I know it was to us. So thank you for that. Well, this morning we've got Brother Daryl with us. He's a bosom friend, and we don't have him here because he's a bosom friend, but that's just icing on the cake. We have him here because the Lord put on our hearts to have him here. I believe that God works on both ends. I believe that when a minister is called to minister in a certain place, that the Lord will witness in that person's heart as well. So that's two witnesses. Now we need a third witness. We need you to witness. When the word goes forth, Lord, that's exactly what I had need of. Amen. I saw some pictures of your son this morning. Sister Santos. He's in the army. Or whatever branch of service he's in. And I thought, man, you know, here I am eating my oatmeal and my yogurt, and he's talking about sea rations, and he says a guy got him up this morning, and he's in full, you know, it looked like he slept in his war gear, whatever it was, you know. He was fully equipped, and, you know, he said got him up before he was ready to wake up, and, you know, and then they're out in the field doing the different things that they're doing, and I'm eating my oatmeal. Remember our brother. Let's just keep him in prayer. Man, he's, God has a plan for his life, and he is standing in defense of our freedom. The least we can do is pray for him. That's the least we can do. Praise the Lord. Amen. You love the Lord? Yes. I was talking to Brother Daryl back there just a moment ago and said, man, it sounds like they're having church out there. He says, yeah, I kind of hate to come out and ruin it, you know. He says, maybe we ought to go somewhere else, Brother Doug. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we'll sing that chorus one more time. And we'll invite our brother to come and minister to us this morning. So listen to our heart. Spirit sing. A song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know. Are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we said last night, love has its own language. Sometimes our inability to speak great words kind of gets in the way of the words our heart wants to speak to him. Sometimes you can say a lot just by bowing in his great presence. You know, I always think that about prayer is that people go into a prayer closet or wherever they would go to pray and pour their heart out to God and just get up and walk away. But you know, prayer is going into a closet or wherever you would pray and pouring your heart out to God and then listening. Yeah. That's it. And giving God a chance to speak back. Amen. Sometimes he wants to tell us things, but we get in a hurry. I remember a few years ago, Jessica was just a little girl, and it was after she had went through the accident, and they had to put a feeding tube in her, and she wasn't able to swallow, and put this feeding tube in her, and so when they took it out, it left a hole, and when she was little, you know, I always told her she's special because she had two belly buttons, and she came through the house, oh, I guess maybe 6-year-old, and she said, "Daddy, so when's that scar going to go away?" I said, "Well, honey, that's going to be there for a while, but it'll be all right." And so she just went on through the house. And I'll never forget, I was reading Genesis 24, and I was sitting at the table studying, and I began to pray, and I said, "Father," I said, "you could take that scar from her." And I said, "you've done so much for her, it would be a sin for me to think you couldn't do that." I said, "you could take that scar from her." And while I was there just speaking to him, I felt this warm feeling come over me. Hallelujah. And a voice spoke to my heart and said, "I could take that scar from her." And I just laid my head down on the table. And I never moved, and it seemed like forever. It was probably only 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I just laid there with my head down. I felt it was him. And all at once, I felt this warm feeling come over me again. Something spoke to my heart again and said, "I could take that scar from her, but I left it so that every time you see it, you'll remember where I brought her from." And I think sometimes we have scars in our lives. Things that we've done when we were young that we would be ashamed for anybody to know. And sometimes at night, those things come back in our mind and you think, "Lord, just can I just get that away from me?" But maybe those things are there so that he can remind us, "I found you in the miry clay and I lifted you up." Oh, isn't he wonderful? Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly good to be here. Certainly good to be a Christian. We enjoyed the banquet last night. We appreciate all that was done, the food and the decorations and just the sweet atmosphere that was there. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And we certainly enjoyed it. Amen. We appreciate Brother Doug and all that he's done for us. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to the book of 2 Kings. We want to read from 2 Kings chapter 5. Starting at verse 1.
And I want to speak to you this morning just for a few minutes on living under the atmosphere of the supernatural. And I want to take a thought out of that of packing words of inspiration. Words of inspiration. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. May the Lord bless you. I believe God squeezes a man's heart and the juice comes out of his eyes. Amen. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, ain't it something that we can look so good on the outside, so polished on the outside, and yet have this problem on the inside that no one ever sees?
Yeah. Wow.
So here we see he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by the companies and had brought away the captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, I would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid of the land of Israel. They went in and said to him exactly what she had said. And one went in unto and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you this morning for this atmosphere of worship that we feel among your people, Lord. For we believe that the word teaches us that you inhabit the praise of your people. And Lord, we believe there's a shout in the camp today because you are in the camp, Lord. For you said where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. And Lord, no doubt that scripture's been quoted 10,000 times, thousands of times. Lord, no doubt in a month, there does not a month go by, Lord, but what it's quoted hundreds of times. But Lord, no matter how many times it's quoted, no matter how many years it's been quoted, it's still your word, Lord, and it's still true. And Father, we pray today, may we be a people, Lord, that we can realize that you have made us in your image. And Lord, we are little creators and we create the atmosphere around us by the words we speak. Then Lord, let our words not be foolish. And Lord, may they not be something of no value. But if we're going to speak, Lord, let us say what the word has already said. For my words will fail, Lord. My thoughts will fail, Lord. But your word will never fail. And Father God, we can stand upon that. Hallelujah. We can stand upon that word, Lord. Knowing, dear God, no matter what the opposition is, no matter what the doctor's report is, no matter how bad the situation looks, Lord, your word will prevail, dear God. And we believe that today, Father. Bless your children, Lord. Those afflicted today of sicknesses, may it leave them today. May we shout hallelujah, Lord, because you are in the camp today. And may we go forth as a people, Lord, packing words of inspiration because you have inspired us by the Holy Ghost, Lord, to stand in this hour. Grant it, Father, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in our Bible story here this morning. We read about this little girl. Now, you know, the Bible is full of mighty acts of God, brought by the hands of his prophets and great man in the Bible that's written of Joshua, who caused the sun to stand still. That's pretty good. Moses split a sea and led 2 million people out of bondage. Samson took an old dried up jawbone and killed 1,000 Philistines. Shamgar took an ox goat, slew 600 Philistines with an ox goat. Mighty men of God who did great feats under the anointing of the living God. But here in this Bible story, this is not a prophet. This is not a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist. This is not a man with a Nazarite vow. In this story we're reading this morning, this is just a little girl. It doesn't even give her name. We don't even know what her name was. But her faith is still speaking today. Oh, I don't care if anybody ever remembers my name, but let them remember he was a man of faith. Hallelujah. But you see, to me, this inspires me, Brother Henry. This gives me inspiration because it shows me I don't have to be a great somebody for God to use. You see, she represents anybody that will allow God to use them. You don't have to be a certain family name. I said you don't have to be a certain family name. You don't have to be a certain race. You don't have to be a certain gender. God will use anyone that'll yield theirself to him. But Reverend said, I think that's one thing that's hurt the Pentecostal move, is people trying to be something that they're not, trying to impersonate somebody else. You can't do that. Just be what you are. Amen. That's all. And when you do that, God will use you in just that way. In just what you are. Because I want you to understand this morning, whether you're the biggest or the least, that's all level at the cross. Yeah, that's right. And you're just as important as anybody else. Huh? God can use anybody that will yield to him and let him use them. You see, if a fellow, the prophet said, could only yield completely his being to God, that's it. If you can yield your body, God will use your body. If you can yield your mind, God will use your mind, your heart, whatever it is, God will use what you give him to use. Amen. Then if God wants to say amen to his word, let him use my voice to say it. Amen. He's seeking somebody that he can find, somebody that'll yield like that. Because remember, the prophet said the only hands God has is your hands. But you see, that'll do you no good unless you believe that. But the only hands God has in this hour is your hands. The only eyes is your eyes. So if God's going to do something, he's looking for somebody he can do it through. And I say, yay, Lord, let it be me. Amen. I was over in Nicaragua here for the glory of God. Just a few years ago, we was in a meeting, about 900 or maybe more in the meeting, just as far back as you could see were people. And I was going to have a prayer line that night, but it was just too many people. And so I thought we'd just do a mass prayer. Because prayer is what changes things. And so I told the people, I said, just lay hands on one another. And just as I got ready to pray, I looked and I saw about halfway back was a sister with her hand up. And something spoke to my heart and said, go pray for her. And at the platform was about 3 foot. I jumped off the platform and I go back there. And I put my hand in her hand and we began to pray and the people began to pray. And when the service was over, the sister wanted to talk to me. And she said, Brother Darrell, she said, you told the people to lay hands on one another. And she said, nobody laid hands on me. And she said, I began to cry because I thought, what's wrong with me? Why would nobody want to pray for me? And she said, I began to talk to God. And I said, God, why don't nobody lay their hands on me? Why don't nobody want to pray for me? And she said, while I was praying that, something spoke to my heart and said, I'll lay hands on you. And said it no sooner said that than you put your hand in my hand. Oh, why? Amen. It's God. It's yielding to God and letting God use us. You see, God don't need something big. God don't need something great. God just needs something yielded. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I was over in Claymore, Oklahoma, last September, I believe it was. And we had a mass prayer that night for the people. And I've always tried to be sensitive to pray for people. And so I was kind of, as the people prayed, I kind of moved through the crowd. And I was, as I feeling led, I was praying for people. I do it all the time. And I just try to stay sensitive to that. And so this sister was telling me after service, she said, Brother Darrell, I wanted you to pray for me. And I said, Lord, let Brother Darrell pray for me. And she said, you come right to where I was and prayed for the person beside me. Said, then you left and went to the other side of the building. And I heard you praying over there. And I kept praying, Lord, let him lay hands on me. Let him pray for me. She said, you came back right to where I was and prayed for the person behind me. Said, then you got your stuff and you left the building. And she said, I was disappointed. I said, sis, I'm so sorry. I tried to be sensitive to that. I said, please. She said, Brother, let me finish. She said, as I was going back to my seat, a brother stepped up to me not knowing anything. And he said, sis, the Lord told me to tell you, you don't need Brother Darrell to pray for you. You're already healed. God can use anyone who will yield theirself to God. So let's just look for a few minutes and see if we can find some interesting points out of this story. Now we find that the Syrians went down into the land of Israel and had taken captive this little girl. And the Syrians had made a slave out of her. And she was sent to be a servant in the house of Naaman. Now was that fair? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Taken from her family. Taken from her home, put in a strange land, with strange people, and made to be a servant. She never even got an Xbox. Made to be a servant. But the Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes what we see as a bad thing to us is exactly God leading us to a victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Like during World War II with Hitler and Eichmann, they killed 6 million Jews. Women, men, babies. They gassed them, burned them, shot them till they run out of bullets. Placed them. That is a terrible thing what they did to those Jews. And the prophet said this, Heavenly Father, by faith we look towards the future. I'm looking now by faith towards a coming something, Lord, upon the earth that's going to draw thy people together. When we see the denominational churches so pinning down and getting so different, it's really pushing the people out, just as it were in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising up who knew not Joseph. As it was in Germany and up into Russia and Italy, the people raised up a Hitler and a Stalin and a Mussolini who hated the Jews. But they had to, oh God, they had to go back to their homeland. They could not be blessed outside the homeland. God had to get them back to the homeland. God's got a way of doing things that we don't understand. God don't always ask us to understand. He just asks us to trust Him. Amen. Amen. Remember, said they pressed Him. No home in Germany and everything taken away from them. In Italy and Russia, no place to go. They were sent back to their homeland just to fulfill the word. Oh, the loving hand of God. 6 million killed. The loving hand of God. how sometimes it looks cruel the way the people suffer. But it's still, oh God, this ought to bring you comfort this morning. It's terrible the way the people suffer. It looks cruel. But still, it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading his little children. The tender hand of Jehovah leading his people. You see, things, oh, put this on your refrigerator. Things don't happen to a Christian. Things don't happen to a believer. They happen for a believer. Things that God allows to come into our life is not done to destroy us. Because remember, we cannot be defeated. No weapon formed against me will prosper. So the things that happen to us in life is not done to destroy us, but to make us stronger and better Christians. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how that makes the devil mad. When he thinks he's got us against the wall, and you tell him, you can't do nothing but what my daddy will let you do. Amen. Oh, I like that. That's good. And so it was with this little girl. God was guiding her because she was one of his. God was guiding her because she was one of his, packing with her inspiration of her father. She was packing her daddy's words. Now, did she have a right to be upset? Probably. She'd been taken from her homeland. A prisoner against her will. Strange land, strange people, taken as a slave. Her youth stolen from her. Had to work as a servant. I'm sure they didn't pay her. And when it was known that Naaman was a leopard, she didn't do a happy dance. Serves you right. Payback time, big boy. That's not God's anointed. You're getting exactly what you deserve. She never acted like that. That's the way we act. She never acted like that. What's her attitude? The prophet of God said she loved Naaman and his wife. Even though they had done that to her, yet she loved them. You see, attitude is so important. You'll find that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to what happens to you. Even though she found herself in a bad situation, she never let the situation control her. She controlled the situation. Like the story the prophet told of the slave that everyone wanted to buy. You know the story. Oh, he's not for sale. You treat him different. No, treat him like everybody else. Well, what makes him so different? He's all the time walking with his head back. All the time singing victory songs. What makes him so different? He said, I wondered that myself. But I found out over in his land, in his country, he's the son of a king. And even though he's away from home, think of this. He was away from home as a slave. With no hope of ever going back home. And yet he conducted himself that way. If he acted like that, with no hope of going back to his daddy's kingdom, how ought you and I to act? No one. We've got a guaranteed ticket to go back. Amen. I wonder that myself, but in his kingdom, his daddy is the king. You see, my brother, my sister, when he walked around among them, it wasn't his robe that he displayed. Look at this right here. Royalty. Give me some more food. Give me a better place to sleep. You see that robe? It wasn't his robe. If he had a robe, they took it from him. It wasn't his ring. Look at that right there. See that? That's a royal ring. Crescent ring right there. You boys in trouble when my daddy finds out. No, it wasn't his ring. If he had a ring, Brother Henry, they stole it from him. But what made him act that way? Not a robe, not a ring. It was his bloodline, amen. Yes. We are what we are today by the grace of Almighty God. It is our bloodline. Amen. This little girl being raised and brought up under the influence over in Israel, yet an alien, she was conducting herself as a believer. And that's the way we should do at all times, is conduct ourselves, no matter what our position is. Conduct ourselves as believers, ready at all times. Don't let my belt buckle say it. Don't let my cloud picture say it. Don't let my words say it. But let my actions say, I am a believer. Conduct ourselves at all times as believers. Amen. Ready to give an answer for the hope that lays within us. You see somebody in a need, go help them. That's what followers of Jesus does. Amen. They're always kind. Oh my. Well, I better preach on that this afternoon. They're always kind. Tender hearted. Showing compassion, doing things for somebody. That's what followers of Jesus does. I don't want people to know I'm a believer because of what I say. But I want them to know I'm a believer because of the way I live. The Bible says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Have we messed up? Every one of us. From the pulpit to the back door, we've all had to get on our knees and say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have blew my horn in road rage. Are we guilty? Yes, we get guilty sometimes. But that's what the blood is for. We go there before the Father and we say, Lord, forgive me. Never get so big you can't repent. That's the trouble with Laodicea. They do not have the ability to repent. Amen. Woo. Amen. This little lady, that was the type of person she was. She said to her mistress, I would to God that my Lord Naaman was over in my country. For we have a prophet over there that could heal him of his leprosy. Oh my, the prophet said, how God used that child. How did she know that? She was just a little girl. But she was living under the influence of the supernatural. She was packing with her the inspiration of God. That child, the prophet said, under inspiration, was led to say those words. There were many lepers in the days of Naaman, but only one was sent to Elisha. Just one leopard was healed in all the days of Elisha. One leopard. No evidence. No one had ever been healed of leprosy in the days of Elisha. The prophet said, we don't know of Elisha ever healing anyone else. And maybe no one else, no matter how many he prayed for. One healed by Elisha of leprosy. Think of that. No one ever been done before. Nobody was done since. Just that one. But what brought those results? We have to go all the way back to this little girl. Oh, hallelujah. She said, I would to God. My Lord was over in my country, for we have a prophet over there. Where did that inspiration come from? Oh God, let that be said of us here in Tucson, Arizona. Let us have that kind of commitment. Oh, I would to God you could come to my church. I would to God let us have that kind of testimony. At our church, we believe. At our church, oh, can we say that about our church? I would to God you come to our church. At our church, devils are cast out. At our church, the sick are healed. At our church, the cancer are delivered. At our church, the dead are raised. I would to God you come to my church. It may be bad. It may be dark. But there's light. There's light. There's love. And divine love. Hallelujah. We believe God is a healer. We believe God still gives the Holy Ghost. We believe God still forgives sins. Oh, would to God you was in my country. Over in my country we have a prophet. Moses had a judgment rod. Samson had a jawbone. Noah had a hammer. David had a slingshot. But what has God given us? What has God placed into our hand? I'll tell you what. He's given us the name of Jesus. You see, the first church, when they was filled on the day of Pentecost, Peter at the gate called Beautiful, that man was healed in the name of Jesus. Satan got so upset. How did they do this? How did they do this? This man had been crippled for years. And notice what the devil did. He anointed the priest to ask them, bring them in and ask them. And they said, we done it in the name of Jesus. And as soon as he found out what they used, what did he strip the church of? The name of Jesus. They started baptizing in titles. Amen. Amen. For years, they baptized in titles. You ever wondered how Luther baptized? Look it up. Look it up and see. Because it was hid from the church. It was taken away. But what did God say he would do in the last days? He would send a prophet. And what would the prophet do? Restore to us the faith of the fathers. What did he come? He brought the whole, hallelujah. He brought the name of Jesus back in the church. And he's given us that name, amen. And by that name, devils are cast out. By that name, the dead get up and walk. Amen. Power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. I'm so glad when Jessica got hurt that I went to a church who knew it was bad. They never ignored it, that it wasn't bad. Nobody saw there's nothing to it. No, everybody knew it was bad. Two of her family was dead. Jessica was dying. It was a bad situation. Nobody denied it. But they created around us an atmosphere. Yes, it's bad. Yes, she's blind. Yes, she can't walk. Yes, her brain is 75% damaged. Yes, it's bad. But we believe our God can do something about it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. They created an atmosphere around us by words of inspiration. That's the kind of church I want to go to. That's the kind of church I want to go to. That's the kind of church I want to raise my family in, where they live in the atmosphere of the supernatural. Not fussing and fighting and backbiting one another, but an atmosphere of love. Do we have our differences? Yes, we'll always probably have differences. But do not let that stand in the way of our love for each other. An atmosphere, a church where the supernatural can live in. Brother Bram said this. He said, a phone call came in just a while ago. This morning, a member of my church was really a Baptist woman out of Louisville. She died early this morning. And my church at home, a real group of consecrated men, assembled themselves together and went down before the undertaker, embalmed her, and stood over her and prayed until life come back in her. And she's living tonight. Listen to this tape. Listen to those Pentecostals roar when Brother Benham tells that story. Listen how they respond to that story. She's living tonight before they embalmed her. Men from my church, not Brother Branham. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was those that went to church with Brother Branham. They went down before they embalmed the woman and prayed over her, and life came back in her. And the prophet said, she is living tonight. The elders in my church, he said, have been taught to believe all things are possible when we come to God sincerely. This little girl, she began to testify. Her words begin to create an atmosphere. And those around Naaman began to believe. They began to come under the influence of the words of inspiration that this little girl was speaking. I want you to understand, nobody had ever been. This was a death sentence. This man was going to die. This man's fingers was going to fall off. This man's nose was going to fall off. There was no cure for leprosy. But this little little slave girl whose name is not even given, she began to speak words of inspiration. She began to speak of hope and faith and deliverance. That's the kind of talk we need to have. That's the kind of atmosphere we need around us. She began to testify, Brother Henry, of a God who could do something about it. And those around Naaman begin to believe. They begin to come under the influence of words of inspiration. Her report, oh, thank you, Lord. Her report introduced the supernatural to those she was around. Her words produced faith. As soon as they heard their words, they went to Naaman and said, hey, Naaman, that little slave girl in your house, she's saying that in her country, there's a prophet who can deliver you. Naaman, are you hearing me? Do you hear me? Oh, I know it's bad, Naaman. I know it's dark, Naaman, but listen to what I'm telling you. That little slave girl is saying in her country, there's someone who can deliver you. Well, what words to hear. What words to hear when you get a bad report from the doctor. Wonderful words. Precious words. Words of life. Amen. Amen. Oh, saints of God, let us be that kind of Christians that our words produce positive testimonies. Amen. You know, there's people you just love to be around because they create such an atmosphere. You just love to be around them. And other people, you can't wait. Well, put up your angel's wings. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's the atmosphere. You get around them, it's always woes you me. There's a rain cloud just follows them wherever they go. Just can't wait to get away from them. They start talking about their arthritis, and they start talking about the time you go. What does that? Remember, I said seemingly nice people. They're nice people. But what is the atmosphere they create? Where does that atmosphere come from? From the things they listen to. From the things they feed on. Amen. Let us be that kind of a Christian. That our words are positive. We have a positive testimony. That we give people hope in times of great difficulty. But I said, it's a strange thing that so much thought of the people today. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. Do you believe that? You believe that's what? You believe that's the message? You believe that's true? That's exactly what the devil wants. He says, well, I'm not a very good Christian. I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody loves me or not. The devil says, amen. That's right. I wouldn't go back if I was you. You know, I've prayed for thousands of people and maybe tens of thousands in 30 years on the field evangelizing. I don't know how many people I've prayed for, but it always amazes me how many people can come up and tell you every word the devil told them. And they can't quote two message quotes. Well, glory to God. That's true, friends. That's what the devil wants us to do. That's what the devil wants us to create, an atmosphere around us of gloom and doom and failure. But if that's what the devil wants us to say, why would we ever say it? If I want to say something, let me say something that makes him so mad he strokes. I want to make him so mad I've got to get away from that guy. He's driving me crazy. Let our words be positive. God help all. Brother, who you? I'm preaching to myself. God help all of us. Amen. To have that kind of testimony. To have that kind of atmosphere around us. The prophet said, never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. Do you believe in healing with all my heart? When I had so much trouble with my back, going through it since September, doing a lot better now, almost completely over it, but I got me a piece of soap and we got a mirror there on the sink in the bathroom, and Cheryl, she never said that. She let me do it, I suppose, but I took a bar of soap and I wrote, God is my healer. And every morning when I got up and staggered to the bathroom, I'd look at that mirror, no matter what I felt like, no matter how much I hurt, that mirror said, God is my healer. Amen. Whether I have symptoms or not, whether I have pain or not, it's got nothing to do with it. God is my healer. Amen. Hallelujah. Never permit a negative thought to come into your mind if you can help it. Let me say something. Our souls are sealed. If you got the Holy Ghost, your soul is sealed. Satan cannot touch your soul. But Satan does have access to the other two realms. Your flesh and your spirit realm. That's right. You see, if your spirit and flesh and your soul was all sealed, he couldn't touch you. But he has access to your mind. And believe me, he uses it. He's got a subway right to it. So that I want you to understand, it's not that the thoughts ain't going to come. I'm trying to tell you, they will come. You probably already had a few, like, he's going to preach all day. I am not going to preach all day. So the devil's lying to you. If you believe that, he's lying to you. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. And we can't stop those thoughts from coming. But you sure can stop them from staying. That's what we need to understand. We don't need to pray, well, I've got to block it, I've got to block it. You ain't going to block it. Don't worry about that part. But look at this part. This is what you can do. You can stop that thought from staying there. Because you can, what does the farmer do when the crow flies over? He takes a double-barrel shotgun and kaboom. And let me tell you, God has given us a double-barrel shotgun. The Old and the New Testament. And when the devil says you can't make it, take the word and go kaboom. When the devil says you're not an overcomer, take the word and say kaboom. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. Keep believing. Create an atmosphere. Never let doubt come around you. Believe at all time. Believe at all time. No matter what the circumstance is. Push away doubt. Walk right on through it. Just refuse it. You know, I would rather believe God for my healing and end up dying than to believe God couldn't do it and he showed up to do it. And he found me believing he couldn't. Is that all right? I'm not too smart. I don't have much education, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you. I'd rather be found believing. I guess this is what I'm trying to say. I'd rather go down swinging than to stand there with the bat in my hand and be struck out. Amen. If I die fighting, there's no disgrace. At least I was fighting. Amen. Let our words create an atmosphere of supernatural. Let our words mean something. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Provoke means to encourage one another. Unto love and to good works. If you see a brother in the church that's got something against the other brother. Are you listening? Oh, I know exactly where I'm at. If you see a brother in the church that's got something against another brother, don't say something to stir the thing up. But say something that'll bring them two together. Provoke one another unto good works. To love is what we must do. Amen. Who does that? Who does that in this age? Who does that in this age we're living in? CNN loves to stir it up. Fox News loves to stir it up. Who does this right here? I'll tell you who does it. Born again Christians. Naaman at once sent to the king. What was it? Faith struck his heart. Amen. A man died of leprosy, but faith struck his heart. A chance to be clean. A chance to be whole. If I can get to where that prophet is. Oh, saints of God, I'm telling you this morning, I know a place where you can go today where your troubles, you can lay those troubles down that's eating at your soul. I know a place this morning where mercy flows, where God can take your stains and make them white as snow. I know a place where you can be healed. I know a place where you can be delivered. I know a place where you can get forgiveness. I know a place this morning. It's in Christ Jesus, amen. He wrote a letter over to the king. The king said, oh, I'll tell you right now, if there's a great thing happening going on, the king over in that country, he'll know all about it. If there's a prophet over there, that king, he'll know all about it. Sure, the higher-ups, they'll know all about it. That's still carnal thinking right there. People say, oh, I'll never forget one time I was witness to a... I had a little bit of rough past when I was young. And I got saved. I got out of the army, got saved, and started running into some old friends. I said, Ward, where you been? I said, huh? I don't do those things no more. I've changed. So I run into a friend of mine. I won't tell you his name, but I know you don't know him. But anyway, I run into him. I hadn't seen him in a while. He said, Ward, what you been doing? I ain't seen you around. I said, oh. I said, you won't believe it if I tell you. I said, what have you been doing? He said, you won't believe it if I tell you. I said, well, try me. He said, I'm preaching. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, what are you doing? I said, preaching. He said, are you serious? And so we sat down and we got to talking. He was a Methodist preacher. I was a message preacher. But we got to talking. And I started telling him about Brother Branham and what God done in this generation and how God sent a message and all the things. And he was sitting there. I said, what do you think about that? And he pulls out a cigarette and he lights it. He takes a puff off it. He said, you know, he said, I believe if God done something like that, he'd tell me about it. I said, well, buddy, it's sure been good to see you. That's people's attitude. Well, if God's going to, God, this so-and-so, why, I'd know about it. The ups would know about it. But look at the Magi. They come running into the town. Where is he born, King of the Jews? They didn't have a clue where he was at. I'm glad it's not the uppity ups. It wasn't the kings that got the message. It was the shepherds. The lame man. It was the shepherds that got the word. That he was made flesh on earth. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes such as have learned. Oh my. That's it. Come with a childlike faith, believing. That's what he's telling us. Yes, amen. Revealed it unto babes. Unto babes, a childlike faith. Amen. Like when Jessica was blind. I'd set her on my lap. And I'd ask her if she'd see me. She said, no, Daddy, I can't see you. I said, but you will. You'll see me again. God provided a lamb. I kept telling her. She kept saying, I can't see. I kept saying, you will see. And one day I said, do you see me, Jessica? She said, not yet, Daddy. I don't see you yet, Daddy. She began to believe what I was telling her. And I remember I had a little cry place that I went to just to get away from the pressure. It was a little shower stall there in the hospital room. And I would go there. There's a little chair. And I would pull the curtain and just lay my head against the wall. And I would cry out to God. I said, God, I don't want my baby to be blind. Don't let my baby be blind, Lord. And I would go there. And I'll never forget when she said that. I went into that little room. And I laid my head against that towel in that shower stall. And I raised my hand. And I said, oh, God, why can't I believe you like that? She believed Daddy. Just that childlike faith. To believe what Daddy said. Don't you understand, my brother, my sister? Our Daddy said he'd heal us. Our Daddy said he'd save us. Our Daddy said he'd give us the Holy Ghost. Our Daddy said we could take our answer. That's what my Daddy said. Can you believe what your Daddy said? He said childlike faith. To simply believe what Daddy said. This little girl never said a word. I gotta hurry. This little girl never said a word about a king. She spoke about a prophet. She spoke of a prophet. She never said king. She said prophet. Go to where they're living. Under the atmosphere of the supernatural. That's what she was telling them. Don't go to a king. Go to where they live under the atmosphere. Go to where they speak words of inspiration. Amen. Listen to me. You need to be with the right people to create the right atmosphere. If you're negative, get around positive people. If you're grouchy, please, please, please get around somebody happy. Oh, glory. I thought that would go over a little bit better. Get around somebody that'll make you smile a little bit. Get around someone who can create an atmosphere around you by the power of the words. She had never heard of a case of leprosy ever being healed. How did she know someone could go there and be healed? She never saw it, but she knew this. If you can get to where they believe in the supernatural, all things are possible to them that believe. That's where I want to get, to a place. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. That's the way I want my church to be, my home to be, our job to be, is to be a people living under the atmosphere of the supernatural, that we control the atmosphere around us by speaking words of inspiration. Amen. Like the little slave girl living under the atmosphere of inspiration of her homeland. Her words created such an atmosphere of faith that Naaman was healed of leprosy in a time where there's no record of anyone else ever being healed. Her words of inspiration created a channel between his leprosy and his healing. And that channel released healing to Naaman by words of inspiration. Quickly now, I've got to hurry. Job 32:8 says this, "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness." The word of God is the very inspiration of God. Men of old, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote out, penned out words of inspiration. And if the God who wrote the word through them was in them, if that same God was to come into us under the same inspiration, those words they spoke will come out of the pages of the Bible and live in our lives. We will become the very words of the prophet spoke. Oh God, let me say that again. Thank you, Lord. We will become the very words that the prophet spoke. We won't have to pack a quote book. We are the quote book. When we come under the inspiration that the prophet spoke the message, when we come under that inspiration, we begin to live the words that he spoke. Oh God. Oh God. That word will live in us. The inspired word tells us the hour and the events that we can start proclaiming that word because it was spoke under the inspiration. I can stand here today and say, "Thus saith the Lord, California will go into the sea." I can say that because it's already been spoken by inspiration from a prophet of God. And now I can speak the same words and she will go down. Amen. It creates an atmosphere by speaking the words of inspiration. It creates an atmosphere that the promise can be fulfilled. Brother Bev said, "I say this today. If you believe me to be God's servant, you are now living in the days of the restoration of the faith once delivered." If you believe me to be his servant, you are now living in the day of the restoration of the faith. You are now living in the day of the restoration of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's not something that's going to come. It's something that's here now. We are now living in the days of the restoration of the faith. Living under the power of the latter rain of the Holy Ghost Church that's raising up today, calling the great doctrines of divinity and everything. everything else out of the denominations. In the evening time it shall be light. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. What makes the branch beautiful? It's the grapes. It's the leaves. It's not the vine that's beautiful. It's the branch that's beautiful. And what did he say in that day? Why did he say that in that day? That's this day. That the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. I'll tell you why. Because the vine has put forth the branch. And the branch has put forth leaves and grapes. And the fruit of the Spirit is on the vine. Hallelujah! The church is restored back in the evening light. What is the evening light? It's us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When you see the church get into a world like it was in the days of Sodom, when you see the church world going in to the Sodom condition, have you been watching the news? Do you see the Methodist churches getting ready to split because they want to vote to ordain women lesbians to preach the gospel? And some of the old Methodists, diehard Methodists, they don't want that stuff in their pulpits. And if what is it? It's sodomy moving into the churches. They used to stand against it. They used to preach against it. But now sodomy has moved into the church. It's a sign to us, the days of Lot, hallelujah. Who did Lot represent? The nominal Christians. It's here, friends. 30 years ago, it wasn't here. 20 years ago, it wasn't here. But it's here now. The Sodomite condition moving in to around the ranks of the churches. Brother Ben said, I want to give you a warning right here concerning the last day. Because of the abounding iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. In the Laodicea, or the last age, self-love and the love for materialistic things will take the place of the true love of God. Man has so loved himself now that man himself has actually become a god because he worships himself. If you don't believe it, watch how many men look in the mirror when they pass it. Oh my. Well, glory. Didn't get too many amens on that, but that's all right. Amen. We need to guard the prophet said against the power of sin in these last days. So many people are getting hard. So many people are getting hard. I remember years ago, used to preach the gospel. Brother Doug, you remember? They'd rip the carpet up coming to the altar. I've seen as much as 50, 60, 70 people at one time rush to the altar and cry out to God. How often you see that anymore, friends? People are becoming harder and colder, sitting on message pews and petrifying. They're getting so hard because they haven't realized the effect of the last day spirit. It's time to draw nigh to God and let Him fill our lives with His love. Or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. Are we there? Is that where we're at? Yes. Then in that hour, the prophet of God said, in that hour, what we will see a little minority group gathered out under the inspiration of God, producing again the life of Jesus Christ. Not by emotion, not by creeds, but by the Word of God. That's supposed to happen. It's happening. And when you see that happen, know the hour that you're living in. A group under the inspiration of God, producing again Jesus Christ. How? By creating an atmosphere. By speaking the inspired Word of God. By taking Hebrews 13:8 and making it more than a quote, but making it a reality. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because He's living in His people today. Amen. Taking the Word of God into our hearts and speaking it back up on our lips. It's just the same as deity speaking. The prophet of God once said, when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the Word into his heart and places it upon his lips, it's just the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to move. Satan cannot stand before that man. Not a prophet, not a pastor, not an evangelist, but that man. That man who has yielded their self and allowed the words of inspiration to live in their life, saying what the prophet says about us. The Bible foretells prophecy of this last day and the day we're living in. It foretells it exactly to the letter. It's never missed and it never will miss. Not one time will it ever miss. And those who predestinated to see it, they will see it. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that my Father hath given me, then what is it? It's the Word joining the Word. That's the hour we're living in. It's the Word joining the Word. The body and the head becoming one. Why? We're taking the mind of God, the thoughts of God, the Word of God into our heart, speaking it back up on our lips. Now we are the very, not the written word, but the very living Word of God. What did Jesus say when he told the Satan? What did he say? He quoted to him the scripture. Amen. He took the word concerning himself and spoke it back to the devil. And I say to you, my brother, my sister, take the word that's spoken of you and speak it back to the devil. Words of inspiration. I am an overcomer. I am a son of God. I am predestinated. You believe you're healed, the prophet said. You believe God answers prayer, raise your hand, thank him for it, it's over, you're healed. Jesus said, if you shall say, when you're out from under Babylon, when you're out from under unbelief, when you're out from under superstition, when you're out from under all these things, and you're filled with God's own life, your voice is his voice. Living under the influence of the supernatural, believing these things, accepting these things. Like the little boy, he looked into the mirror. He got closer and closer. And finally he touched it. And the revelation struck him. And he spun around. He said, why, Mama? It's me. Look into the Word. See yourself. Speak words of inspiration. It's me. It's me. It's me. The expression of the word of our day and speaking it back up on our lips will produce the life of Jesus Christ back in the church again. They will write another book of Acts behind it. Yeah. As the judgment rod was in the hand of Moses today. I've got to quit. I'm way too long. I'm sorry. As the judgment rod was in the hand of Moses today, so is the name of Jesus. Amen. Held in the hand of the believer today. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words of inspiration spoken in the name of Jesus. A people inspired by God to become the very word. Brother Kenny, brothers, come this morning. Inspired by God to speak the words. Not Moses' words. Not David's word. That was their day. But the word for our day. Taking the word for our day into our hearts and speaking it back up on our lips. A predestinated bride who cannot fail. Do you realize, my brother, my sister, this morning? Do you realize, as far as God is concerned, we've already raptured? He's already spoken. He's already spoken. All you've got to do is come under that inspiration and become a part of it. Well, Brother Darrell, you think God can heal me? If you can receive it, you're already healed. God knows all about it, friends. Do you believe that this morning? Here a few years ago, I was down in Mexico. I'm closed right here. I'll just share this with you. We'll close. A few years ago, I was down in Mexico. I met a brother down there. I felt sorry for him. I said, brother, what can we do to help you? I said, I'm not a rich man. I don't have a lot of means, but if I can help you, I will. He said, we need Bibles. So I got people in my church that's never had a Bible in their life. I said, how many do you need? He said, 1,000. If we could get 1,000 Bibles, I could give them. South, they have big churches down there in that part of the country. He said, if I could get 1,000 Bibles, I could get everybody in my church a Bible. And then I could have some that I could pass out on the street when I witness to people. I said, well, I can't promise you anything, sir, but I'll do what I can. I go home, I tell my brother-in-law, he's Sunday school superintendent. Little kids started bringing their Sunday school money, nickels and dimes and quarters. Jessica's a Sunday school teacher back home. Started bringing her money. It wasn't long we had enough money to buy the Bibles. So I told Brother Benai, I said, you know, Brother Benai, I was thinking, Brother Benai Espinola, he interprets for me down in Mexico. And I said, you know, I was thinking, instead of buying the Bibles here in the U.S. and sending them through customs, when they go through customs, everybody wants a handout. Everybody wants something to pass it along. Time you get it through customs, you pay more for the customs than you do for the Bibles. I'm sure you all probably know about that. So I said, you know, I was thinking, maybe we could just have them printed down in Mexico. He said, I'll check into it. He called me back and said, I found a man who would print 1,000 for the price of the money that we have. I said, that's wonderful. Just a simple Bible, nothing fancy. So he called me back the next day. He said, Brother Earl, the printer called me and said, because we was making 1,000, said he would reduce the cost of each Bible and we can make it for this amount, or he would make 1,006 for the exact amount of money that we have. He said, what do you want us to do? And I said, you know, just tell him to make 1,006 Bibles. He said, okay, that's what I tell him. So instead of making 1,000, he made 1,006 Bibles for the same amount of money. So they get the bus. They get the Bibles and they put them under a bus, and they was up here in Matamoros, Mexico, and they was going all the way down to Quanaru, down in Catsim, that part of Mexico down in there. And it's about 15 hours by bus. And on the way down through there, they got stopped by Mexican soldiers, made everybody get off the bus and pulled up the side doors, and here's all these boxes. Well, they saw those boxes. They saw money, you know. They said, what's in these boxes? And they said, they're Bibles. I said, Bibles? I said, yes, yes. So what are you doing? You going to sell these Bibles? No, no, we're not selling. We're giving them away. You're giving these Bibles away? Yes. We're taking them down here. We're giving them every one away. They said, you're giving these Bibles away? Yes, we're giving them away. They said, well, you know, said, if you're giving them away, said, we don't have a Bible. Said, we'd like to have a Bible. Brother Benai said, okay, how many of you are you? Said, there's 6 of us. He's got it all in control. If he knew that they would need those 6 Bibles before they ever got on the bus, he knows what you have need of this morning. The word's been spoken, but the word will do you no good unless you receive it for yourself. Whatever you have need of this morning, you're sick, high blood, low blood, or no blood, means nothing to my God. He can do anything at any time. At any moment, there is no God like our God this morning. Do you love Him? What a wonderful name. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to His. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Just speak it this morning. Whatever you have need of, by words of inspiration, speak it this morning. Jesus. Jesus. I need peace. I need restoration. I need forgiveness. I need the Holy Ghost. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired, Lord. I just need you. Words of inspiration. How nigh is your God to you this day? I'll tell you, He's even in your words. He's in your words. Speak His word this morning. Speak to that mountain this morning.
Yes, Lord.
What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Name it is. Oh, that's it this morning. That's it this morning. Create the atmosphere. If you're here today, you have a need. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave, by the same anointing that raised my daughter up and gave her back to me, who's sitting in this building this morning, by that same anointing, He's here today to give you every desire of your heart today. I believe it with all my heart. If you have a need, why don't you just stand this morning? Just raise your hand to Him and call on the name of Jesus today. In the name of Jesus, let the chains fall off. In the name of Jesus, let the victory be in the camp today. Speak words of inspiration. Speak words of life today. Speak the word. He's nigh, even in your lips today. Speak to Him, Heavenly Father God, today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come to You today. We speak that name over sickness. We speak that name over bondage. We speak that name over darkness. We speak it today in the name of Jesus Christ for my brother, for my sister today. Oh God, grant it, Father God. Grant it today.
What a powerful name it is.